All right. Well, we have our matchup, folks. We've got our round one matchup after tonight. And as I'm recording, it is Wednesday, April 17th, the night of. We just found out, folks, we just found out that the New York Knicks will host the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the 2024 playoffs. That was a different feeling, huh? Waiting to see who our opponent is. Let's talk. This is a preview episode here in 667 of the pod. Don't know how long it'll be, but it'll be a bit of a preview. We'll give our thoughts, what I like, don't like, excited about, concerned about, all that in episode 667, Knicks Sixers. Let's go. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA. Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Let's get to it. Anthony for three. This is gonna be fun. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, episode 667 of BD4. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. We found out. You know, man, I was watching the Knicks, the Heat Sixers game tonight. And as I record, it is Wednesday the 17th. Technically, it's now past midnight. It's Thursday the 18th, which is when this should be out. I was kind of rooting for Miami. I wanted to wrap up that story. You know, I wanted to get revenge, and I just don't think Miami's a very good team. I don't respect them. I think they're a bad basketball team who really just got some of their wins from, they were a 46-win team, or a 50-win team like the Knicks. But, like, the wins they did get were against very bad competition like them. And so I wanted to conclude that storyline and, you know, sweep them, get it over with. But, hey, you know, the Knicks will be having another team that I really despise coming to town on Saturday, in the Sixers. And I hate their fan base too. I hate their team too. I cannot stand Philadelphia sports fans. As a Knicks fan, as a Jersey citizen, I hate Philadelphia. And I love to hate Philadelphia. I think they're all scum. Now, except for some of my cousins. But I'm not scared. Like, I wanted the Heat, not because I thought the Heat, I wasn't rooting for them because I'm scared of Philly. Because Philadelphia, I feel like, is a team the Knicks can take care of. I don't think it's going to be an easy series. I think anybody thinking it's going to be an easy series is out of their fucking minds and doesn't know how the postseason works, especially the postseason where it's Knicks against Embiid Sixers. It's going to be tough for the Knicks. But I must say, Joel Embiid, since coming back from this meniscus injury, didn't look good tonight. He's been limping around out there. Tonight, I watched him, and I saw a guy who doesn't look remotely close to 100%. The fact that he looked worse tonight than he had in any other game prior tells me that maybe these two days off, Thursday, Friday, aren't really going to improve much. He looks rough. He's a player, like the body language out there, you know he's not 100%. The way he's just like slow walking up and down the court, he's not moving without the ball. When he's in defensive coverages, he's not moving. Like he's not rotating. As soon as his man gets past him, it's over. Like he looked bad. He still finished with a pretty damn good line for a bad night, but like he doesn't look 100% healthy. So that makes me a little more confident about this Knicks-Sixers matchup. Now, real briefly here on the schedule, I'll read off the schedule of when, where these games will be played. Saturday is the first game. Game one on Saturday, the 20th, is at the Garden, and that's a 6 p.m. game. So I thought they were going to get the 3 p.m. game. Obviously, the 8 p.m. game, they're reserving that for, I think that's LeBron versus the Nuggets. But the Knicks get 6 p.m. Saturday, game one. Game two is Monday, the 22nd, at the Garden, 7:30 p.m. game. Game three is Thursday, the 25th, in Philly, 7:30 p.m. Game four is Sunday, the 28th, at Philly. That's a 1 p.m. game. And then, if needed, game five is Tuesday on the 30th at the Garden. Game six, if needed, is May 2nd, Thursday in Philly. And then, if it's seven games, game seven will be Saturday, May 4th at the Garden. The good thing is, for Knicks fans, every single one of these games, with the exception of game four, will be televised on MSG Network. So they're doing the first round again. Love that. Game four, the non-MSG game, is going to be on ABC. So that hopefully is Breen. But I'm just happy that there's no TNT games that I'm going to be forced to watch. I don't have to watch those clowns talk about the Knicks. And good Christ, do they know nothing. So that's the good. But the Knicks have the Sixers. We're going to talk about it a little bit, give my thoughts on what I think the Knicks are going to be capable of doing and whatnot. Again, not sure how long of an episode this is going to be. Might be on the shorter side, but then again, I ramble a lot, so we'll see. So what we're going to do, going to get to break real quick. When we return from break, we'll start talking about this thing. We'll start breaking down a little bit, and this is exciting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun. And I'm excited to see what's going to be at play here for the Knicks. So we'll talk about it here on episode 667 of the podcast. Stay with us. Be right back.
Hey there. Thanks for listening in so far. If you enjoy this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks so much.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Episode 667 of BD4, doing a little Knicks-Sixers playoff preview. Man, so like I said, Embiid doesn't look right. Obviously, when he is right, he has the upside to be the best player in basketball. When he's right, he's capable of dropping 40 and 15 on your head. And that's terrifying because he can do that in a stretch of a series. But right now, he doesn't seem 100%. And with that, I think that needs to be the plan of attack for the Knicks, both defensively and offensively, is to make Joel Embiid work on defense. get him moving, get him retreating, recovering, moving his feet. So offensively, the Knicks are going to have to really get into their sets to get this guy moving. You know, like if Nick Nurse goes with a blitz, then the Knicks, like, run your normal offense where you go into that short pick and roll. Right? When Embiid shows high, use Brunson and Ihart. Ihart slips the screen. Brunson hits Ihart in the pocket. Ihart, you know, surveying, looking to pass, maybe goes to the floater. Right? That's their offense. So if they bring a blitz and they show high with Embiid, you got to go to that to put him in that action. Or, you know, if Philly smothers that action, you pivot to the second side action with Hartenstein and DHO, right? Get Deuce coming up around the screen. Dante, that's obviously an action the Knicks like to use. If Nick Nurse does what he did a lot tonight and he goes with the drop coverage, obviously the short pick and roll is going to be less effective. But Isaiah Hartenstein is still going to have that space on the roll to where he can take advantage of it and go to that floater that he really has developed over the last couple months. And then obviously Brunson is just a killer. If you drop on Brunson, he's going to kill you with the pull-up three-pointer, or he'll go to his floater. But yeah, like if Embiid is anything like he was tonight against Miami, where he was in a deep drop and just very immobile, not able to move very much at all, that's a huge win for the Knicks in any kind of coverage. And, you know, if they drop, you could still go to Hartenstein on the second side again off the initial action. This way you're forcing Embiid to move laterally and defend multiple actions. Right? He's going to have to defend the initial Brunson-Ihart pick and roll, and then he's going to have to defend the counter set on the second side. So, it's all about keeping this guy active and making sure he's never comfortable and never set. Now, Nick Nurse is not Doc Rivers. Nick Nurse is an excellent coach. He's a very smart coach. You know, I'm sure he's going to make adjustments that if the Knicks start exploiting Embiid, he'll try to keep Embiid out of the action. Right, maybe he'll put Embiid on a Josh Hart, right? Which is a win for Philly because Josh Hart is a non-threat and Josh Hart can be hesitant to make decisions in space. We know this. We've been talking about this all year. So if maybe he does that, the Knicks start exploiting Joel and then Nurse goes, all right, let's take him off and let's hide him on Josh Hart and let's just put Tobias on Isaiah Hartenstein. Right, this way we can maybe bait the Knicks into feeding Isaiah Hartenstein on the post in a mismatch. And that's not Isaiah Hartenstein's game. But I think it's a win for the Knicks if you can still, like the Knicks, like even if you put Joel on Josh Hart, the Knicks like going to those guard-to-guard screens. They're going to call Josh Hart into the action to get Embiid up. Right, and if Philly decides, all right, let's switch it, let's take Tobias off of Hartenstein on the pick and roll. He'll switch on to Brunson. I see that as a matchup advantage for the Knicks. Yes, Brunson has struggled with his efficiency in isolation this year. When you put bigger, longer wings on him, he has a tough time getting to his spots. We've seen that a lot this year. You know, most recently with Nick Claxton in the last two times the Knicks played the Nets. But, like, if the switch defender is Tobias Harris, who's not Nick Claxton, I'm living with that. I'm fine with that quote-unquote mismatch. I think the key is Isaiah Hartenstein's health. And how long is, like, is that minutes limit going to be effective in the playoffs? Because keeping Ihart on the floor is going to be important to maintain spacing. Because off the pick and roll, you can use Ihart to still shift into space when he's off the ball. he's able to keep the defense moving and clear out the lanes. Whereas if Mitchell Robinson's on the floor, he's going to be in the dunker spot waiting for the offensive boards. So that's less space for Brunson coming off the action, and it's going to be more difficult for him once he gets into the lane. Now, the good thing is that do the Sixers bring Embiid onto a Josh Hart, or if they just try to take him off the action and they hide him somewhere on the back line, that means he's going to be somewhat out of the paint and the Knicks will have the offensive rebounding advantage, right? But it's going to be a lot of, there's not going to be one coverage. There's not going to be just like one single thing the Knicks are going to have to try and exploit, because Nick Nurse is a very innovative, very creative head coach. He's a very good defensive coach where he has his team play very physical. They are going to be reckless at times, because especially now with the new officiating, like, Nick Nurse mixes it up. He's going to throw zone. He's going to put the Sixers in a zone. And the purpose of that, you know, the Heat were zoning Miami tonight, Philly tonight, to take that empty side pick and roll away. So the purpose of the zone, you know, might be to neutralize and eliminate those two-man actions between Brunson and Hartenstein, right? Again, the Knicks can counter that by getting the ball to the second side, using baseline cuts, using iHeart to flash middle to the nail, using screens, using a ton of cuts. They got cutters. They've got Dante DiVincenzo. They've got OG Anunoby. Josh Hart likes to cut behind the defense. Those guys on those back cuts, those 45 cuts, they cut a lot. And they don't cut just to score, but they cut to create space and spread the floor out. So the Knicks, I feel like they're in a good spot offensively. But it's not going to be easy, because Nick Nurse likes to mix it up. He likes to go to multiple junk defenses, right? Box in one, maybe a diamond in one, maybe a triangle in two if both Dante and Brunson are hot. You know, bottom line, he's going to vary coverages. He's going to show you different looks. The Sixers are going to use their length, right? They're going to go big in certain lineups if they need to. They might throw Oubre on Brunson to start the game, right? Batum could be on him at any point. And in the Knicks, you know, I think Buddy Hield is, does he start for them? I know he's important to their team. That's a matchup I would like to see the Knicks try and hunt. Hunt that Buddy Hield switch. Because every time the Knicks play the Sixers, you're seeing Brunson look for that switch. That's a matchup advantage I would love the Knicks to try and hunt, try and exploit. And that's how they're going to have to create offense, right? So I'm excited. It's not going to be easy. I'm excited because I think the Knicks have what it takes to put up points. I think this offense is going to be a lot better than what it was last year in the postseason. Even though you don't have Julius, I really just commend Tom Thibodeau for making such a seamless pivot to a new offense just like that. It's become this free-flowing five-out offense where you can go and run it through Isaiah Hartenstein, whether it's using him off the short roll or using him as a hub at the top of the key, hitting back cutters, you know, blind pig actions, zoom actions, Chicago actions, DHO. The Knicks can vary it up a lot, and I think that's going to be beneficial for them. So those are my thoughts on how to attack a hobbled Joel Embiid when he's in defense. I want to get to some other thoughts, including how this rotation might look when we return from our second break here on the podcast. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few seconds.
You can follow us on social media as well. On Instagram, we're at BD4Pod and at Rob J. Carbone. On X, we're at BD4Pod and at RJCBD4. And on Facebook, we're BD4.
All right, welcome back to the show. episode 667 of the podcast. I think we found out, we have a good idea of what this rotation is going to be. It's going to be a short rotation. Tibbs runs a short rotation. It's probably going to be an eight-man, maybe more of a seven-and-a-half-man rotation, right, where your first unit is going to consist of the usual. It's going to be Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart, Ananobi, Hartenstein. And then your second unit is going to consist of McBride as your sixth man, Robinson as the backup five, and then Bogdanovich as the eight. And then three starters are probably going to be on the floor at all times. The Knicks are going to run their starters out there. There's going to be a lot of Brunson. There's going to be obviously a lot of Josh Hart. There's going to be a lot of OG Anunoby. Right? Those guys are going to be on the floor a fuck ton. 40 plus minutes wouldn't shock me from each of them. Now my hope is that I hope Tibbs is quicker to go small if he has to, because I love Hart just as much as, maybe not as much as Tibbs loves Hart, but I like Hart a lot. I just hope that Tom Thibodeau doesn't only focus on the positives that Hart brings, but remembers the flaws that certain Josh Hart lineups can also bring. Like, remember that Miami Heat series from the second round last year, right? If Josh Hart is out there and the Sixers are ignoring him, and they will, and he's not making quick decisions when they're helping off him, when he's in open space and he's not quick, you know, to make a decision, whether it's being hesitant to shoot or hesitant to pivot to DHO, when he's open in space, whatever it is, if he's not quick to attack the space, attack the closeout, like, you got to get him off the floor. Get him off the floor and get McBride in the game, who can, you know, expand the half court, shoot in space, and he can also defend Maxey, right? So I think it's going to be important for Tibbs to realize when he should be going small. I really hope it does stay at eight, and that, like, we don't get those Hart, Precious, enter big man here lineups. I think Precious is probably going to be the odd man out, right? He'll probably be a DNP. He might see situational minutes, right? The only way I can see Precious Achiuwa playing in this series is if he's at the five, and if, you know, Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein is biting, and they get into foul trouble on Joel Embiid, who obviously lives at the fucking free throw line, and he flops and he gets everything he wants. He's a foul hunter. And those guys are in foul trouble, then yes, you're probably going to see Precious Achiuwa get some minutes at five. Or maybe Mitchell Robinson's not quite right still, right? Because he hasn't looked great and he's ineffective and you need something else, so you go to Precious, right? And that's where he brings value. At the five, he's best value there, but only when they're switching, right? When Precious is at the five, it's a size disadvantage, but it works when the Knicks are in a switch, because he's a good switch defender. He can go and switch onto Maxey on those pick and rolls, right? He could probably hold his own for a few minutes, to be honest, on Joel Embiid. Because he does a good job himself of avoiding fouls and keeping his hands straight up. But I just hope they don't play him at the four. You know, I hope the Knicks don't, like, Tom Thibodeau should realize that, like, there's no need for that. You don't need to worry about Tobias Harris's size versus the Knick guards. Not enough to be able to throw Precious at four and just decimate your spacing. So I think it's going to be Boyan as your 7.5 man, as your eighth man. And, hey, Boyan's going to play a big role, you know, especially when Jalen goes to the bench. That's where Boyan has shined the last couple of weeks, right? the Knicks have been able to open up offense for Bojan Bogdanović, where he's coming off staggers and he's ghost screening into a pick and pop, or he's running those empty side actions. I think he'll help this team, man. You know, three-point snipers have the most value of any kind of player in a playoff series. There is lethal upside there, especially if the 76ers are playing in a deep drop like they were tonight. He's just going to kill it with that three-pointer. Go to that pick and pop, you know? And then you can still run those Brunson Bojan lineups that the Knicks flashed a little bit towards the end, that they produced some very good offense together. I liked what I saw in some of those lineups, right? So they can stagger that. It's efficient offense. Maybe you go Brunson, McBride, Bojan, OG, and a big. Maybe you go small. Does Tibbs go small? Does he go Brunson, McBride, Hart, Bojan, OG at center? Does he go super small where he has Dante at the two or three, but then you lose some defense, right? But I think going small could be beneficial against the Sixers if Embiid is still a little compromised with his health, because you can make him move around and chase and have to help and recover. The scary thing for the Knicks when Bojan's out there is they have to try to hide him. You know, they're going to have to play him in certain lineups with Anunoby, McBride, and then maybe you have to play him with the center, Mitch or Ihart, right? Because it's going to happen. There are going to be times where Bojan's on the floor, whether he plays a ton or not, where Philly is going to hunt him. They're going to hunt him in a switch with Tyrese. And if he's playing with Brunson, those are two guys that the Sixers are going to hunt in a mismatch for a switch. So I still think he's going to play a big role. He's going to get the short end of the stick. He's going to be the eighth man, the 7.5 man, I call it. But yeah, I think that's interesting. I want to talk a little bit about the Knicks defense when we return from our break here in episode 667 of the podcast. So stay with us. We'll be right back and we'll start talking defense.
If you're interested in our website, just go to www.bd4blog.com. You can subscribe to our blog on there right on the front page. Just like on the podcast, we cover Yankees, Knicks, and MMA. Also on our website are the links to the different platforms for the podcast. Thanks so much.
Welcome. Whoa. That was weird. Goddamn. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to BD4. It's late at night. Episode 667 of the podcast, Knicks Sixers. A little bit of a playoff preview for you. Why are we not focused? Are we focused? Is the camera focused? For those of you watching on YouTube, I hope it is. I think we're okay. It gets interesting when you start talking about how the Knicks are going to defend the Sixers. My biggest concern is the Knicks defending at the point of attack. You know, defending those smaller, quicker guards who can get into the paint. You've seen them multiple times this year with OG, without OG, have issues with that, with guards off the point of attack. Like just recently, the last game of the season, Coby White getting into the paint at will. And I think Anunoby does okay there, but he's incredible. Like his value really stands out when he's off ball and in help, when he's able to dig at Joel Embiid and double and stunt at the lane and come from the weak side, coming over off a pick and roll, right? If you do that with him, if he's in that role, the Knicks, they can trap those Maxi Embiid actions because they've got that safety valve in OG on the back line. Right? So I think OG Anunoby off of the point of attack and, you know, put him on a mediocre to below average shooter to where he can help off him and cause havoc and roam. That's going to be where he shows his defensive value. right? Dante DiVincenzo also best in help, right? He's not great at keeping quicker guards out of the lane and keeping them in front of him. He's had trouble there. Josh Hart, you can have him on Maxi when Deuce is off the floor. I don't love that matchup because he doesn't have the quickness, which is why I think Deuce McBride is the best option to put on Maxi, because he's your best point of attack defensive player. He can navigate those screens at an elite level, right? Not to mention this is all while he's going to be able to spread the floor on the other end. So I think the best thing the Knicks can do is to go with McBride on Tyrese. How often Deuce plays, that's going to be a big question in this series. He might not play more than 15 minutes. So that's, you know, like, that's why I still think Tibbs might have Anunoby on Maxi a fair amount, which he struggled with him, right? And if that's the case, if OG is the one who's going to be on Maxi, I hope the Knicks switch it, you know, where OG ends up on Embiid, and I'm fine with that. And then the thing is, you switch that, you have Ihart now on Tyrese Maxey, which is a little, you know, yikes. So it's there's no perfect answer. But again, it makes it easier if Joel Embiid is in similar shape on Saturday, because then there's no need to overhelp off of three-point shooters. If Embiid's not going to be the dominant Embiid who can dominate you in a one-on-one post matchup, then you can stay home on the wings, on the corners, and you can force Joel Embiid to put the ball on the floor. You can go one-on-one more, you know? Now, because he's not 100% right, and you saw this with that three-pointer he hit at the end of the game, he might not just go to the post. He might just shoot more. And that's kind of a concern of mine because, you know, the Knicks, they're in a drop a lot. They go to drop coverage a lot despite the offense of another. Like, you can have a five out or you can have a team that gets into the lanes. The Knicks, a lot of the time, will still go to a drop. And Philly is very willing to go to that Joel Embiid pick and pop. And you have Mitchell Robinson, who's not quite comfortable coming up in a drop to the perimeter. He's never been great there. Historically, he's had a tough time against stretch bigs. You know, I mean, we can list a bunch of guys. Brook Lopez, obviously Porzingis and the Celtics. Vucevic, the latest. Like, that's where I really get concerned, is the Knicks defending the pick and pop as well. But again, there are no perfect answers for this team. The Sixers are a very good basketball team, and at the end of the day, just comes down to who's the better team. And I like to believe, despite the Knicks not having Julius Randle, this version of the Sixers, where Joel Embiid is also not 100%, I still think the Knicks are the better team. I still think this is the better matchup for them. So I think that's it. No trivia tonight, nothing of that, none of that. But I think that's all I got. I think we'll head to our final break, get back, and maybe I'll give my final comments on the series, and that'll be it. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on episode 667 of BD4. Be right back. Studio 69 Productions is a podcast production agency created by Leo Rodriguez to allow content creators to market their podcast. It's an online platform that will market your podcast or any other project that you're working on. Get in touch with Leo Rodriguez from Studio 69 Productions. You can find Studio 69 Productions on Instagram at Studio69NJ. Studio 69 Productions, where dreams are heard and born.
Thanks for listening to BD4, where there is no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA, Yanks every series, Knicks every game, and MMA on occasion.
All right. Sorry about that. Welcome back to the show. Episode 667 of the podcast. Did want to mention one thing. Earlier today, see if I can pull it up here. Chris Berziaitis, I like him. He's pretty good with, he's on a podcast I listen to. He put out a tweet. Multiple sources say that Knicks forward Bojan Bogdanović visited with doctors today and had his left wrist scoped. Per team reports, Bojan has been dealing with a sprained wrist for weeks. That's not lovely. Couple hours later, updated it, and sources, Knicks forward Bojan Bogdanović is going to give the left wrist a go for the 2024 NBA playoffs, and he's not expected to miss time because of today's wrist scope. So in short, he'll test it out and see how it feels. Nothing as of now. Nothing significant as of now. So sounds like he's going to try it out. Hopefully it's all good. Jesus Christ, these injuries just never stop. Can't be surprised at this point because that's how this shit has worked all year. Hopefully he's okay because, again, he's important. Because if Bojan's a no-go, that means you're going to have to play Precious and then run three bigs in your rotation. And that is just not what I want to see. Not those power forward lineups with Precious. But, fuck. We'll see what happens. I appreciate you all tuning in. I'm excited, though. Knicks Sixers, Saturday at the Garden. It's going to be electric. Fuck the city of Philadelphia. They're frauds. They try too hard to be like New York. They are not New York. I wish I could be at the Garden, man. I wish I was going to be there. I'm going to be at the Yankee game on Sunday, so it was a good thing that they got their win today. Hopefully they get hot again. But Saturday at the Garden, 6 p.m. I hope it's not the same time the Yankees are on. Is it a 7 p.m. Yankees game on Saturday? Saturday is a 1 p.m. game. Perfect. That's fucking, it lines up perfect. All right. There we go. Knicks Sixers, Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Garden, MSG Networks. Let's do it.
This episode was brought to you by Anchor.
Hey there. If you stayed the entire way through, we thank you immensely for it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you come back for the next episode real soon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, download these episodes, and share them with your friends as well. BD4 is a 5-star podcast simply because of you. And we'd like to keep it that way. Have a wonderful day. Go Yankees and go Knicks.